Okay, turn with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, we'll be looking at this psalm in the light of a sweet spirit. Probably should do sweet spirit every week. By the time we get through Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and today, we find out we definitely need that. This is a psalm of David, and to me, a very great psalm for devotions, or study, for preaching on the various words that are used in here, and then for meditating on. I mean, you can go over this and over this and over this, and you find something every time you go over it that just keeps giving to you. Well, here's some of the words that are used, chief words: fret, trust, delight, commit, rest, cease, depart, wait, mark, not buyers. And so all of those are present here. And you could do 3 points, you could do 5 points, you could do 9 points, if you were just going to do that. But all of these are instrumental with, I believe, that the message that's coming out of here is an age-old problem, and that is the prosperity of the wicked and the adversity of the righteous. And I'll show you why. You should read Psalm 73 and probably the book of Job in connection with Psalm 37. Now, the issues at hand in the Old Testament were pressed harder than probably now, because there is no clear revelation of the great future in which the righteous will be judged. And so this lent itself sometimes to despair and just giving up. And so what we should see out of all of this that is our afflictions are temporary and only temporary. And if we can trust and wait, we shall see God judge righteously, and He will. If you're troubled now, or you have been troubled, and in all likelihood you will be troubled, this is an especially dear chapter. So we'll start off here in verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now, I probably am on the side that says that most believers and unbelievers think this is impossible to live out this earthly life without some degree of worry, anxiety, depression of spirit, that kind of thing. And it's likely true, but you're not obligated to welcome them into your life. And that's where the problems come. I mean, they're going to hit us and hit us and hit us. And the worst thing we can do is say, oh, come on in. I think it's 2 John talks about when the people that come to your door and they have a false teaching about the deity of Christ, which lends itself to a lot of the cult, you don't invite them in. Because if you invite them in, you become partakers of their deeds. So if you invite these problems in, you become a part of it. And you don't want to become a part of it. Somebody said, probably a long time ago, you can't stop birds from flying over and hovering over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. You don't want that to happen. So if the devil makes suggestions to you, or even the flesh makes suggestions to you, the Lord holds us accountable to those that we yield to and nourish. We don't have to yield to them. Remember, go here, 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And look here in verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. All right, what does that mean? You're not going through anything anyone else never went through. Even though you say nobody ever has experienced what I'm experiencing. The Bible says that's not true. But God is faithful. who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So you don't invite the temptation in, you find the means of escape, because the means of escape comes immediately with the temptation. And that's why you need to know the Word. That's why the Word has to be in you. So, to fret means that there is some deep-seated complaint reigning within us like a fever, hot and inflamed. Most of the time we think of fretting like whining or murmuring. They could include that, but in all likelihood, fretting is much more serious. You know, if you go out to the ocean, you can let the ocean roar and cast up dirt and shells and things like that. But we're not to fret. And basically, this is the kind of thing that fretting is doing. It's like you're boiling over, but you haven't exploded yet. It's also found in verse 7 and again in verse 8. I won't read them, but it's not to fret. And so we're told not to fret of evildoers, neither be envious of the workers of iniquity. And I think we take that spiritually and physically. Spiritually, I think we shouldn't fret over the prosperity of another Jesus, or the prosperity of another gospel, or the prosperity of another spirit through the means of unbelief. In the truth of God's Word. Pardon me. Romans chapter 1 kind of outlines the success of those who have turned away from God and His Word. And yes, if you know the history, they are for the most part thriving. What are the most successful institutions spiritually today? Isn't it the Roman Catholic Church, the Mormon Church, and some of the charismatic churches? I mean, they're thriving. But how are they thriving? Through walking away from the truth of God's Word. And so you can't let yourself just be, you know, turned to the degree where you're boiling inside. Physically, the prosperity of evil over truth and calling it just the opposite. Today, evil is good and good is evil. Or the forced oppression of people for somebody else's wealth. So, what is the promise to us in verse 2? For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. So, let's go back to verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, because here's the result. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. All right. Go with me to Psalm 32. Go back to 32 and look at verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. And maybe we haven't seen those many sorrows yet, but the promise is the promise, and the promise is true. All right, and let's go forward to Psalm 73. And you really should read this by itself after you would read portions that we were going to read tonight in 37. But start here in verse 12. The psalmist begins by saying he really couldn't go on. He really didn't want to go on because the ungodly were prospering and the godly were suffering. And he didn't understand why. And so he goes through a couple of characteristics there, and then he says in verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Can you identify what he was going through? And then he comes to this. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. And guess what? It doesn't end well for them. And sure, while it's not ending, you have the tendency to allow these things in, and you fret. And they get to you. They're going to be cut down. They're going to wither. They're going to perish. And if you're saved, you're not. There's a big difference here. And since we're, if you go to the store, and let's say you go, let's see, what can I pick? Let's say you go to the shampoos. And I don't know how many shampoos there are, but I'm sure there's probably hundreds. And they all offer this and this and this and this. And they can be cheapos and they can be expensive. And if you look on the back, the first ingredient is what? Water. Water. Same thing on a lot of other things. This is the first ingredient in this chapter, and it's fretting. It's the key to going through the chapter and everything else that takes place. This inflammation that takes place because we've allowed it in. And guess what? Once it's in there, it's hard to get it out. So now we change and we get positive. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. All right, this is the faith that works and puts it into practice. Go back to Psalm 73, please. Psalm 73. And look here in verse 25. Now, the psalmist has gone all through here, and then he comes to this. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Who else but the Lord can I implicitly trust? I hope you can trust me, but you cannot trust me implicitly. And I can't trust you implicitly either. I'd be foolish to do that. We all would. But the Lord, every time. All the time. All right. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I want to try to bring the comparison in here about trusting man as opposed to God. 1 John chapter 5. And we'll look here in verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. All right, so you go to the store, and you're shopping for whatever you're shopping for. You're on a shelf and you pick a can of French green beans, French style green beans. And you put it into your cart along with everything else. When you pick that off of there, you believed that there were French style green beans in that can. You didn't stand there and ask the Lord, should I believe this or should I not believe this? Do you think it's true that there's maybe not in there? You believe that there are French-style green beans in there. Why? Probably because you've been there so many other times and you've done the same thing over and over and over again, and they've always been green beans. All right? So God says that the witness in himself is much stronger than the witness you put into that little can of green beans which was produced by man. It's much stronger. You can believe the lies religion tells you, that you have a part in being saved, that you have to work, you have to merit, you have to sacrifice, you have to observe, and all that business to be accepted by God. But the Bible doesn't say that. That's why we have John 3:16 and Romans 4:5 and Acts 16:31. It all talk about that salvation is by grace through faith. And to be saved, we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So which are you going to believe? Man or God? And then of all things, you get home one day, and you take your can, and you open it with the can over, and surprise, surprise, it's sweet corn in there. And all your trust in man is gone down the drain, which it should do anyway. I mean, we can't open up everything. I've become more cautious to what the packaging says is in there is, if we can possibly do that, because many times it's not. Let's say you go to a restaurant and you're there and you think you're ordering some kind of fish. And it's not that kind of fish. But you believed what man said on the menu that it's that kind of fish. You know that happens quite often. You think you're getting something that is well known, and in fact you're getting something that probably comes out of a fish farm outside of Hong Kong. So, you cannot go wrong by trusting the Lord and acting on that trust by doing the right thing every time, each time. You can't go wrong. I'm not saying you won't suffer for that by man, but you can't go wrong with the Lord. And in the end result, who do you stand before? You're not going to stand before me. You're going to stand before God. So note who the promise is not written to in verse 2. In verse 3. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Okay, who is that not referring to? The church. It's referring to Israel. You can make an application, but you have to understand the context is to Israel. All right? And you can make a part, you can apply the second section as well, but you have to understand we are not going to dwell in the land, we're going to heaven. Right? The Jehovah Witnesses can claim the first part, and they're not even going to make that. All right? So, let's address the second part. And verily thou shalt be fed. How important is it physically, if in the physical sense, if you're fretting your diet, you're inflamed? What do you do when you have a fever? You do certain things and you don't do certain things. It's important. All right, spiritually speaking, you have a fever as opposed to physically, but spiritually. If you watch TV news, cable news, internet news, it can make you fret. It can do more than make you whine. It can do more than make you murmur. You can get thoroughly inflamed inside, especially when you know what's going on. When you see the success of compromisers and unbelief, it can make you fret. I got on a website about a year and a half ago. It's a believing website. And there was a lot of information coming from politics and things going on, and then likening it to things that are supposedly going on in Scripture. I can't watch that. I can't look at it anymore. As a matter of fact, I looked at it today, and I told Lynn, I said, I'm going to bring up this website, because it just like that, I started fretting inside. I could feel myself just starting to boil over. And we can't do that. I can't invite those things in. Well, if I'm not going to invite it in, what am I going to replace it with? Right here, the book. Goes me to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. And then we'll go backwards one chapter. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 25. Now we're talking tribulation, we're talking the Antichrist, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first and subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Now, the Antichrist hasn't even come on the scene, but when he does, what is he there to do? To wear out the saints. And many of us are already worn out because we're fretting over the things that are going on. Okay, chapter 7. Chapter 7 in verse 23. No, verse 25, sorry. I think I just read 7. I'm sorry, 23. Chapter 8, 23. Sorry. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, shall prosper and practice, and to destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall stand also up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And all of these things are coming to be. And if you get caught up in the news, you can start to fret because you think, like some people, it's here. It may be very close, but it's not here. And when it is here, we will not be here. So why fret? You know, I mean, the things that are happening are sad, they're tragic, but you can't fret about them. You just can't. And the way that you get over it is you replace it with the Word of God. And you pour yourself into that. If you're a patient and you're fretting, so physically or spiritually, and we'll say a spiritual fever or a physical fever, if you will feast on God's truth, or we could say eat on God's truth, and live on His Word and drink in His promises, I think we'll come out on the bright side. We need to be fed faithfulness. I think that's absolutely essential to recovery. It doesn't matter what you know, it's what you do with what you know. Why are we seeing so many on this hand and that hand falling aside? Do they not have the same knowledge we do? I think probably they do. But what have they done with it? Nothing. It's just knowledge. Fret not, but trust in the Lord. Very important. All right, verse 4. Here we go. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight is something valuable to be desired that brings spiritual joy. Joy being a part of the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the delight is. It's something valuable you deem as valuable to be desired because it brings joy, part of the fruit of the Spirit, to you. Now, I read somewhere that God writes straight on crooked lines. I got thinking about that and I thought, I'm glad that He does. That's good news for us. Because all of us are crooked. We're crooked. Probably still the flesh is still crooked. And we couldn't make ourselves straight by ourselves. Solomon said that which is crooked cannot be made straight. Yeah, except for the Lord. Through His death, burial, and resurrection, He shed blood for us. We'd still be crooked thoroughly, through and through. There would be no straightness to us. But you can count on the Lord all the time and for His will in your life. You can count on Him. Again, all the time. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Because then, and only then, will your desires be His desires, and His desires your desires, and you will be more satisfied with Him and His will that you ever were before. Rather than supposing His will or not knowing His will or always seeking His will, you delight yourself in the Lord. Psalm 1:1 is the great cross-reference for this. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice how it starts negatively. Blessed is the man that doesn't do these things. But his delight, that's something that is so valuable to be desired and brings joy and blessing to his life, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. How do we start our day? How do we go through our day? How do we end our day? Hopefully, you know, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates in it day and night. You know, you can meditate in the Word of God and be working and speaking and playing and doing other things. If it's there and it's working on you and in you and through you, all of these things are so absolutely necessary. And it all, I'm not going to get to the commit thy way unto him because I'm going to take a little bit too long with that. But it all boils down to, and I'll come back again, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. If you're up to it, and it won't make you throw up, ask the Lord about all the things you fretted about over yesterday, or last week, or last year. And see what they were, and see what they amounted to. What did they do? What did they do for you, as opposed to do against you? Just like worry. What has worry ever done for you? It just made you miserable. It made you wring your hands and not sleep and think about this is going to happen and this is going to happen and those things never happen because you're worrying about an unknown. Be anxious for nothing. Say, well, that's a hard thing to do. It doesn't say don't be concerned about anything. It says don't be anxious about it. And get to a place where you create scenes that aren't there. What have you done? You brought this on yourself, and ultimately it will lead to fretting. Fretting's very serious. And we don't want to do it. And when you understand where it leads for the lost, you don't want to practice it, obviously. You want to be where the Lord wants you to be all the time. I think it's sad that we've come to a place that we're only happy when we're getting what we want. And for the most part, I'm thinking of our country. Most of our country got what we wanted over the last 4 years, despite the battles. And that was good. But now it's completely reversed. And now we're sad. And the next thing happens, we'll fret. And when we fret, we're doing damage to ourselves. We really are. What can I do to change anything that's going on there, other than pray and give out the gospel? Anybody got any suggestions? I'm up for it. I can pray. The Lord will keep us free till he comes for us. I can witness to people and keep witnessing to people. And if I get a chance to witness somebody that's more important than not, hopefully I'll be able to do that. But beyond that, I'm no different than Paul and Silas and Timothy and Peter and all the characters in the New Testament and what they suffered. The believers at Thessalonica, they suffered. And their faith was known over the world. So, if we want to look at what's important, our faith is important. We don't want to be known as a church that frets, but trusts in the Lord. And if somebody comes here, they know that they're going to get God's Word, and hopefully they're going to be pleased to get God's Word. Not everybody is. Why do you think that we are the size where we are? People have had opportunities. They don't want that. They want the excitement, the energy, the flesh. And the devil is more than happy to give it to them. So I'm going to stop there. And I just pray that we've gotten something here that will help us. I just know, I'm backing, experientially, I mean, backing off of a lot of the things in the public forum. I don't need to know them. In some regard, maybe. But if I feel that they're affecting me, no, I can't. There was a time when there were places that I could not pass on the street without bad memories. There is music that I cannot listen to without bad memories. And I try as much as possible not to take those things in. Because no matter where I am spiritually, the music still hits the flesh. And the memory bank is still there. And I don't want to be a part of that. I had a situation that happened to me when I was younger. And I was a part of, and prior to that, I was part of the rock music gang. And I was so reviled by what happened that I started playing with my parents. It was a radio, but it was like this big, and it had a record player in it. And so I was going through, and I switched to a station in Boston. It was called WBZ, and it was all classical music. And at first I can't listen to this, and then it began to grow on me. And I found out things that I was listening to wasn't music at all. And this was music. And it kind of catered to my soul. I've always, ever since then, been opposed to this thing that calls itself music that's not, and how it makes its way, it slithers into churches and tells you that you'll be getting one thing when you, in fact, you're getting something else. So anyway, let's have a word of prayer, and we can hang around. And fortunately, it wasn't that hot. I'm not boiling in sweat, and neither are you. Father, we are thankful to be called to your people by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the faithfulness of those that are here, those that are watching, and would be here if they could. We're grateful for any opportunity we have to serve you, to be listening to what you have to say through your word. And so I pray that you would take the things that were said tonight and bless them to our spiritual understanding, that we may put faith into practice and trust you and do good in everything and not get caught up with being so visibly and many times not even visibly but so internally upset and fret over the things that are happening. Yes, they are bad. But historically, these kind of situations have always been bad. And unless you intervene, and God's people, I think, come to the place of repentance, these things are not going away. So we just ask that we can be a part of the solution, and that is moving forward with you, your word, giving out things that are important to we as believers and those who are lost. And if the world decides to implode, it implodes. But it doesn't mean that we have to implode. So speak to our hearts. Give us a good rest of the week. Look forward to being here with you Sunday, if not before. Help us to find out what's wrong with this air conditioning system, that we might get that fixed as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.